Well, I'd like to ask everyone here today, including myself, especially myself, did we let God talk to us this week? You know, we come here each Sabbath to profess our faith and our obedience to God, to demonstrate that we have a relationship with our Creator. Yet, did we allow God to communicate to us this week? What about last week? And by communication, I mean, did we pick up His Word and read or listen to His words of life that He gives us? A real relationship demands communication. You know, when family or group interaction ceases, the relationship can easily break down. And when we decide not to have God talk to us through His Word, and His Word is the Bible, our relationship with Him can falter. Of course, life is busy, and it's easy to not always find time to listen to God's instructions and words of life. I think all of us, at some past time, hopefully years ago in our Christian lives, have put our Bibles away in our briefcase or purse at the end of services. And left them there, not opening our Bible until the next Sabbath day service. Not letting God talk to us during that whole week, unless, of course, we used other Bibles at home. I know that's happened to me years ago. Communication with God is very important, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to encourage everyone here, again, including myself, to daily let God talk to us through His Word. Of course, now this takes some action in developing a routine of reading God's Word to become more like Him, to receive the answers of life that we all face. We all have common issues of life. We want answers to certain decisions and certain issues. And by reading God's Word, we can get a better track on the best choice, the best decision, the best way to resolve our issues of life. I want to generate, hopefully, some zeal in allowing God the Father and the Son to talk to us, to share their wisdom and their plan and their purpose for us. So let's agree here at the beginning that we all can do maybe a little better letting God talk to us. I've entitled this message, Letting God Talk to Us. Letting God Talk to Us. Now, I know some here privately set a very good example of engaging themselves into the Scriptures. And if that be you, then keep it up and don't change a thing. You're on track. But for some of us, we may struggle to to have a daily plan of letting God reveal His will to us. You know, two-way communication is the best way to develop a deep spiritual relationship with God. Two-way communication. Us talking to God in prayer, and He talking to us through His Word. In my message today, I'm going to forgo the tool of prayer. Not that it's not important. It's vitally important. But I want to focus today only on the tool of reading and studying God's Word. So we're talking about one-way communication today. God has great love for us. And out of that, it should itself generate our desire to find some time with Him each day. God wants to share His divine life with us in His kingdom. That's no small thing. We're puny, physical, carnal people, and here God wants to share His divine spiritual life with us. So let's not refuse God's desire to talk to us. For we are His children. We're His called out ones. He wants some communication. Let's turn now to a few very common scriptures concerning God's Word. One is in Matthew, when Christ responded to the tempting words of Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. An often quoted scripture, Matthew 4, verse 4. But He, Christ, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You know, physical bread will nourish us and keep our physical lives from dying. It has value. But God's Word will nourish our spiritual lives beyond the physical. God's Word is more important. We worship God to gain spiritual salvation. And that requires that we come to know and live by every word that proceeds from Him. Christ later spoke to the crowds and said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And He, Christ, said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You know, to hear and listen and read God's word and then go the next step to obey it brings physical and spiritual blessings to us. The words of God are living words that give life to us. We have no knowledge of spiritual, eternal life outside of the Bible. It's nowhere to be found outside of God's Word. Christ said in John 6, verse 63, I've got a handful of scriptures here, so you make the decision if you want to turn to them or just listen to them. John 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who," or "that, gives life. The flesh profits nothing." We're not going to get anything of long-term value from the flesh. "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Generally, when Christ speaks of life, and He does many, many times in the Gospels. He's talking about ultimate life. Not our physical lives, but ultimate life, eternal spirit life. And again, the Bible is our only true and reliable source of life eternal. You can't go to any other reference source and get new, original information about eternal life. It all comes from God's Word. Psalms chapter 119, verse 162. Psalms 119, verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. The scriptures are a source of treasure that bring positive benefits into our lives. And when we're down, they can lift us up. Coming to services each week on a regular basis can lift us up like nothing else. Letting God talk to us brings a host of benefits into our lives. Let me list some that I thought of. One of those benefits is receiving peace. Peace of mind in time of worry. Receiving courage in time of fear. Receiving relief in time of sickness or pain. Receiving guidance in time of indecision. Rest in time of weariness, strength in time of temptation, comfort in time of sorrow. All of these are benefits of letting God talk to us. And if we could go to a store and buy these benefits, how much would we pay if we could go and get peace and courage and strength and comfort? Well, God offers them free of charge if we become His faithful children, if we submit ourselves to Him and His Word. By letting God talk to us and we to Him in prayer, we can weather all the storms of life along with having faith. We must believe that God's word is true and that we must reverence it and be willing to follow what it says. We should respect God's word, not take it lightly. You know, most of us bring with us each Sabbath the scriptures, which is a book of 66 books that we take as sacred and inspired of God, having authority to guide our way to salvation. And without this book of books, we would have no clue again about eternal life or how to properly live or right or wrong. We would just be part of the world, flowing down the river, going along with the rest of everyone. The Bible gives us purpose and wisdom in obtaining real life, ultimate life. And let's read what Paul wrote Timothy, a very, very familiar scripture on the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We've read this so many times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 15. And that from childhood you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So if we let God talk to us, the Scriptures, they can make us wise and understand the pathway to salvation. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And other translations say, is God breathed or is breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine, and that is teaching the truth, for reproof, for rebuking error, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, may be competent, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So these are very powerful verses here. These tell us the value of what we gain from letting God talk to us. You know, we cannot basically be a spiritually complete man or woman of God without the Scriptures. They're our lifeblood. The Scriptures reveal what God is all about, and they declare His will and purpose in our lives. And for us to be complete Christians, we must let God talk to us, preferably daily, so He can reveal to us His true teaching, chastisement, correction, and His way of living righteously. We all need that. We need to be corrected at times. We need to be chastised at times. We need to really know what's true and what is the right way to live. And our only source for that are the Scriptures. And yet we live in busy and stressful times. And so that's our excuse sometimes. Yet we have to find, as Christians, we have to find ways to get ourselves into the Scriptures, to let God sufficiently talk to us, to let Him become our counselor and our therapist in bringing peace and priority to our lives. You don't need to turn here, but in Matthew chapter 11, Christ says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yet at times we may look at Bible study as a burden. I don't have time to let God talk to me. But yet, letting God talk to us can be a tonic and exactly what we need to give us some peace and comfort and hope in a world that's fairly crazy and senseless. We need God to talk to us. But being carnal people, still to some degree, it's so easy to let the day go by and not let Him talk to us. The Apostle Paul writes of hope in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So Paul understood the value of the Scriptures. And we all need hope. We all need confidence to keep us going. Without the hope of God's kingdom, the hope of the resurrection, I mean, life could be pretty depressing. The scriptures reveal to us the deeper truths of God, like the mystery of death and life beyond the grave. How many in the world really understand that? You know, we've been saddened by death in our extended church family this week. Yet we know that God, through His Word, reveals a resurrection to life for those in His body. And that's very, very comforting. That's a deep truth that most of the world doesn't quite grasp yet. They may get bits and pieces, but they don't put the whole puzzle together. So how do we find time to let God talk to us? Well, one way is to sort out the priorities of life. And by that, I mean, how can we ignore the one that has called us into a spiritual family and put him on a lower priority than other things? Yes, we have to work. Yes, we provide for our families. We do a lot of physical things just to maintain life. But God's wanting to give us eternal life. We already have physical life. God wants a communicating relationship with us. And just as we desire to talk to our children and our grandchildren, God desires equal time. You know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to dedicate a portion of our time to God and have Him sit with us speaking His words of life. It's a privilege. But we don't always look at it like that. We have to put God first. Somewhere during the day, we have to put God first in our lives. And when that happens, it seems good things come. Blessings come. Peace, strength comes. And I think we all realize that. We all understand that. But we just don't make it happen as much as what we would like to. And I'm talking to myself as well as everyone else in here, because I'm not perfect yet. And I have things to overcome, and I have things that crowd out God if I allow it. Christ said in Luke chapter 14, and this is a good scripture to go to and make sure it's underlined. If you at least have a paper Bible. I know some of you don't have paper Bibles with you. But Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone, verse 26, if anyone comes to me, Christ, and does not hate or love less in comparison his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So here Christ is setting a priority for us. Well, you don't have to really guess what is some of our priorities. We're given a priority right there. And many times, we should put priority, you know, in certain times and so forth to our father, to our mother, our spouse, children, brothers and sisters. And we've got to take care of ourselves. But in the whole ball of wax, they are all lesser in comparison to God. Now, if your personal study habits and your discipleship are good, then that's great. Don't rock the boat. See, don't change. You're on track. But some may feel a need that they could become a better disciple, a better student of Jesus Christ, having God talk to them more in life. You know, the world does its best in creating distractions and allowing us to drift from God. The world does not foster a relationship with God. The world wants us away from God. And it's doing a good job. Yet bottom line, if we have God's Spirit in us, if Christ is living in us, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise the strength and will to make God a priority part of our daily life. See, we have it within us already. We just have to exercise it and make it happen. God wants the opportunity, the chance, to sit with each of us and share His words of life daily. He wants that. And just having His words refreshed in us daily can go and prevent a host of wrong thoughts and wrong actions on our part. You know, if we took time to read a X number of chapters, X number of verses a day, that could be the very thing that gets us through some temptation and some difficult times that we go through. Because our minds are refreshed by God. And we know that. The hard part is just kind of making it happen. The Apostle John was used to write down the words of God in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, John writes some action words. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So this can be applied in principle to the whole Bible. Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy, these words of God. And indeed, from that verse, the signs of the end time are gaining strength all around us. That is, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is telling us. And not just anyone can understand the Scriptures. We have to understand that too. The Scriptures have to be opened to us by God. And we see that in Luke chapter 24. Not just anyone can understand the depth of the Scriptures. They may be able to understand many of the surface issues of very plain Scriptures. Luke chapter 24, 44, and we'll see that. And the time setting here is after the resurrection and during a time when Christ visited with his disciples. After the resurrection. Verse 44. And then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And that's basically the whole Bible, Old Testament. Verse 45. "And he," Christ, "opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Very plain scripture telling us that not everyone can understand the scriptures. God has to open that understanding. And if we understand the big purpose of and plan of God, we understand that he's not trying to call everyone living today. He wants to call everyone eventually in their proper time. But those first fruits that he is focused on right now, that's his plan. So he's going to open the understanding to the scriptures in a very limited way, and then he will open it to everyone eventually. So unless God opens the mind, the Bible cannot be fully understood. And the more we let God talk to us, the more wisdom of life we can gain. We should always approach God and his word with a teachable and a humble attitude. Like what is said in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. And I'll just quote that to you. Isaiah 66, verse 2. "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite, humble spirit, and who trembles at my word." So do we highly respect and tremble and respect and reverence God's word? And the answer should be yes. The answer should be yes. And we should go then the next step and apply that and put that into our lives. So we need to respect God's word. You know, God's word has been faithfully preserved for us down through time. And although there's been human error in copying and translating the Bible, most of those errors and mistakes have been identified and noted in reference works, both in and outside of the church. So we can believe what was that which was originally inspired of God, in spite of man not understanding that fullness of Scripture. Their minds were not open when they translated it, and many times they were biased. But as we put the whole Bible together, and we do see that there's unity in God in the Old and New Testaments, we can understand the Scriptures. Christ spoke in John chapter 10, verse 35, that Scripture cannot be broken. Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." They're going to live on and have full, complete fulfillment. Now, I'd like to digress just a bit and quote a few quotes from our church booklet, How to Understand the Bible. How to Understand the Bible. Many, many famous individuals outside the church have praised the Bible. Let me quote a few. I'm going to limit this to the presidents of the United States and their quotes. This quote is coming from George Washington, our first president. He says, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." The third president, Thomas Jefferson, spoke, "I have always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume, the Bible, will make better citizens, better fathers, better husbands. The Bible makes the best people in the world." The sixth president, John Quincy Adams, wrote, "So great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country." He goes on to say, "My custom," and this is John Quincy Adams, right? Yes. "My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning immediately after rising. It seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day." I know we can't all do that. Our lifestyles won't allow for that. But that's what the sixth president of the U.S. did. The 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt, wrote, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." The 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, spoke, "I have a very simple thing to ask of you. I ask every man and woman in this audience that from this day on that they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book, the Bible." Daily perusal. I wouldn't use perusal. That seemed to be common in the past. And finally, one last quote from the 40th president of the U.S., Ronald Reagan, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems that men face." So we see that the Bible has had an effect on many, many in and outside of the church. And as we personally begin, again, if you're on track, if you've got a great study system already, don't change a thing. But if we need to maybe start a new adventure and develop a plan, a study plan of God's Word, we can use really whatever method works. Not all of us are going to be able to use the same process. You know, we can focus on just one book at a time, reading so many chapters a day, trying to understand the themes of that one book of the Bible. That's one method, maybe the most common. We can focus on one subject, gathering all the relevant scriptures on this one topic. And we can use various study aids to help in understanding the historical background of all the books of the Bible and the time periods that they were written. That's out there. Very easy to obtain, even online. One option is to read the whole Bible through, cover to cover, a few chapters a day. And there's many reading plans on paper, electronic, guiding you every day to read so many chapters. The most common time frame is 1 year. That's a pretty hefty load to go through the whole Bible with meaning in 1 year, but yet it keeps us active. We've got to do it every day. I personally think it's good to try out several different versions and translations of the Bible. You know, officially, from up here, we use the New King James, mostly. But there are some newer and highly respected translations that can make the narrative flow more readable. And if it's more readable, then it's probably going to help us stay on course and help us to continue to let God talk to us. That's the goal, God talking to us. Now, if we read something that sounds different from our usual understanding, we can always make note of it and do a little short Bible study on that particular verse or two, getting out reference works, looking at several translations along with church literature. So we don't have to be afraid, really, of using other translations. Some of them can actually add a little insight to how we've read that verse in the past. And of course, today we have a plethora of computer software packages. We have smartphone Bible apps that can allow us to read and search dozens and dozens of Bible versions and go through study aids. The internet itself has numerous free Bible reference websites that can bring a wealth of information right there to us. Now, lately, personally, I've been using my smartphone to enjoy listening to an audio Bible. And I know probably some of you have tried that out. But many applications have an option on some of their versions to listen to an audio version. And this is where a professional speaker reads the scriptures in a very clear and authoritative way. And I've had some enjoyment from that the past few weeks. I didn't think that I would enjoy that, but I really do. And you can pause it at any point you want and think and meditate. You can back up if you'd like. And the plus side is that my phone is always with me. So if I have character, I can read the Bible anywhere that I'm at. You know, the world today has very easy access to the Word of God. It's everywhere, available. We have no excuse not to have God's Word available. Yet, ironically, the world doesn't really care what the Bible truly says. You know, most in the world want to believe their own created God. You know, that they've created in their mind and along with their value system so that they will feel good. They want to do what they think God wants. They won't let the Bible tell them what is right and wrong. And that's for most of the world. But we are part of God's church. And we too, as a church, have an abundance of literature. And we have a lot of study aids that reveal God's truth. And that literature gives good counsel. You know, good counsel comes from God as a basis, because it's based upon His spiritual word. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, another common, very common scripture, Proverb 11, 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, that's a great, great principle. Get several people's opinions, even physically in life, as we go and live life, and go to those that have experience and knowledge in that area that you're trying to research. And the same spiritually. You know, major decisions in life require counsel. And what better counsel than letting God's word and His chosen servants talk to us? Letting God talk to us and letting the servants of God with experience talk to us with a scripture as a basis. You know, the church is a storehouse of counsel. The church is a support group for those who need care. And it's a witness. The church is a witness of what God has done in the lives of so many. We need to ask God to guide us in seeking the counsel that we need when we have the need. As disciples and students of Jesus Christ, our principal book of study is the Bible. Christ is our master teacher. And as we teach, as He teaches us through His Word, we can, of course, make side notes as we're doing our daily reading and study. We can take notes and we can highlight the things that have special meaning for us. We all have favorite scriptures. And we can meditate and then apply the knowledge of God into our everyday lives. It's amazing at times that what we may read in the scriptures one day, during that one day, will actually come up in a live experience later that day. And we have to say, is that a coincidence or is that something that God brought together? In Psalms 119, back to Psalms 119, and if you're tired of turning there, then just listen. Psalms 119, verse 15. The writer is speaking. You know, I've researched this, and the scholars cannot all agree whether King David wrote chapter 119. I mean, I cast my vote that David did write 119. But they think David used chapter 119 to actually instruct his son Solomon. But they're just not convinced that David actually penned it. So God knows. One day we will know. But Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. You know, and as we read the Bible, as God talks to us daily, we too then can meditate, pause, meditate, think about, make a note, We can contemplate the implications. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And you know, my memory is not as good as what it used to be. And I'm having more and more senior moments. And I regularly ask God, God, help me to remember scriptures better. I know the gist of them, but I struggle to know where that book is, where that chapter is. I will not forget your word. You know, if we faithfully look to God and His Word for the source of all right understanding, we will grow spiritually and be blessed. And I've heard from so many in the church, and it's very interesting. When we read a scripture in our private setting that we've read dozens of times before, and yet this time, when we read it, we see a slightly different aspect to it that we hadn't seen before. And we say, you know, I'm not sure I saw that little aspect of how to apply that. And I have no explanation except to believe that when that happens, it's God's Spirit providing some spiritual growth in grace and knowledge to us. He's opening our minds a little bit more. He's unlocking the key to understand that scripture a little bit more. And I know when I first came into the church some years ago, I didn't have full understanding. When God opened my mind, it wasn't 100%. It was gradual. And God is still, I think, opening our minds if we're willing to receive His words to a deeper understanding. And as we learn to live what we learn, then God will, of course, continue to open our minds and continue to give us deeper understanding. Yet if we refuse to let God talk to us, if we refuse to apply His will, His words in our lives, then He will let our relationship suffer. You see, that's our choice. He's always there. But if we refuse day after day, week after week, then we're going to have a relationship that's going down. God wants us to live by faith in testing out His Word by us proving it and testing it, practicing it, so that we can witness the blessings that come our way in the long run. You know, God very plainly says that in Malachi. To give God His tithes and offerings, test me, prove me, if I will not turn this around and bless you even more. And many of us are here can vouch for the blessings that God has given to us. Of course, we will always have short-term physical trials in life. You know, we were not promised a rose garden every day, everything perfect. We will have physical trials in life. God is somewhat interested in how we go through those physical trials, and He wants to see that our relationship with Him continues and gets stronger and not weakens through our physical trials. But God's promises are long-term that lead to life eternal. God's looking way down the road at us, for us. So we must think long-term, even though we go through these short-term physical upsets, ups and downs. And we have to be doers of what God tells us. And I know we all know in Romans 2, verse 13, but be doers of the law. The doers of the law will be justified. You know, obedience is very important and necessary for our continued growth. To have a good relationship and bonding with God, we have to obey Him. Yet, as we know, all of that obedience cannot earn us salvation. Only through His grace and mercy and forgiveness of past sin does God grant salvation. And that can be a difficult area there to fully understand. Obedience and grace. And I didn't have that understanding when I first came into the church, but God gave it to me many years down the road. And God has opened my understanding of grace quite a lot in the last 10, 15 years. And I thank Him for that, because I never did quite understand the fullness of law and grace and everything. So God has given me, opened that key of understanding a little bit more on that particular issue. Now, for us to establish a pattern of letting God talk to us, for sure we must have active love for Him and His truth. You know, if we love somebody, we will want to be with them and we'll want to talk to them. So, up front, we have to love God and His truth. And we need to establish the best time in the day that we can dedicate ourselves to God. And then make it happen. Put aside everything. The world's not going to end if we spend a few minutes, a few chapters with God. Now, for some, it will be the morning time. For some, it will be the evening time. I don't think there's a right or wrong in that. It's what works for you. And we just need to be committed in finding our quiet time with God, so then we can glory and boast in Him and what He's done for us. And why did I use those particular words? Glory and boast. Well, let's go to the last scripture. Last scripture, Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. And in my recent book of study has been the book of Jeremiah. And a fascinating book, a little difficult at times. But I finished it this past week. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast or brag in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory or boast in his might. Let not the mighty man glory or boast in his riches, or let the rich man glory or boast in his riches. And of course, that's what the natural carnal part of us would do, is glory in all these physical things of life. Verse 24, but let him who glories glory or boast in this, that he understands and knows me, the great Creator God, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So if we're going to glory, let's glory that we know and understand God and His Word. Let's glory that we're allowing God, inviting God to come in every day and talk to us. And we do that because we want to become more like Him, full of love and justice and righteousness, to take on His character. So, brethren, as I conclude this message, let's be devoted Christians that communicate with God daily. Let's have quality time with God, letting Him talk to us so we can grow and mature in grace and knowledge. Let's commit ourselves to having a deeper relationship with God. I think we're up to it. I think we can do it. I know we can do it. Let's just make it happen.